If you have your Bibles, open them up to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. While we're doing that, dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you anoint the ears to hear, anoint my lips to speak. Between both, Father, much can be accomplished here this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. We've been talking about self-image. And basically, that's what we're referring to, is a person who possesses a self-image rather than the image of Christ in them. And we've been teaching for this past few weeks, or quite a few weeks, that unless the self-image die, the image of Christ cannot be formed and amplified in a person's life. He has to get himself out of the way in order for Christ to be eminent in his life. The Lord spoke something to me this morning in prayer. It caught my attention. He said this to me. He says, tell my people a simple way of understanding whether they're walking in that newness of life or not. He says, are you serving life from the inconveniences imposed on you? Or are you serving life out of the inconveniences imposed on others? You want me to say that again? Are you serving life from the inconveniences that life imposes on you? Or are you serving life out of the inconveniences imposed on others? Boy, when the Lord spoke that to me, it shocked me, because a lot of times how I respond to something in conflict, my response in conflict is very obvious than when it's an inconvenience to me, or is it an inconvenience to them? So if conflict happens in our life, how do we respond to that? Do we respond to it in a manner that we do not impose an inconvenience on them? Or do we respond to it in the manner of an inconvenience imposed on us? I didn't want to ask a certain individual to do something because I knew what his responses would be. He's a Christian. And I knew that he's short with people. I know he treats people very abruptly. And I knew that if I asked him to do a certain thing, it would cause an inconvenience to him, and he would respond that way. But I also know that this man does not spend any time in fellowship with the Lord. He's not really interested in church all that much. And that there's a tremendous lack in his ability to desire to hear the Word of God. He is not what you call a preservative in this earth. Because Christians are called to preserve this. We're the salt of this earth. We're to preserve humanity in this earth by Christ living in us. And so how I responded to one situation is I inconvenienced myself for his sake. Mm-hmm. Are you following me? And you see, living the new life in Christ through our spirit is very inconveniencing on our flesh. But it's very powerful because you're giving of yourself to the kingdom of God by imposing an inconvenience on you so that the inconvenience would not be on them. Mm-hmm. There are ways like this that let us know what spirit we are of. What spirit we are of. Now, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 is a very powerful verse. And if you understand the meaning of this verse, excuse me, I got to get a drink of water. If you understand the meaning of this verse, then you'll understand the rest of the entire chapter. And I had not understood this chapter in its fullness till I understood verse 4. The book of 1 John is virtually unknown by the Christian church, but I believe it's going to come alive. But when you're living in the realm of your self-image, I got news for you. You will never be successful spiritually. I hate to say that, And I am bold to say, even though you never succeed spiritually, it doesn't mean that you won't make it to heaven. You know, because there are those that evidently are going to be heaven bound, but have no reward of anything. I don't want, you know, if I'm living in poverty here, I sure don't want to live in poverty there. You know, why live two lives? One in poverty here and one in poverty there. I ain't going to do it. I want to take as much with me as I possibly can in my accountability towards God when it's all said and done of this natural life. You know, I was watching a program last night, and it's a huge church, and I listened to the man's message, and he gave nothing that would indicate or give any credibility whatsoever of an inward change or a newness of life inwardly. Everything was out of the understanding of bringing a convenience to your natural man rather than an inconvenience to your natural man for the sake of spiritual life. Right. And there's going to be a transition in our church as the church gets more light, and I see the church getting more light altogether. There is going to be an inconvenience to our natural man, and it's coming down the road. And I'm not talking about a religious inconvenience. Because there at one time, the church talked about what an unworthy person we were and how poverty was a part of God and all this negative stuff. I'm not in condemnation preaching and amplifying where you miss the mark. See, those days are gone because there's more light today. That God is a good God. And God does impose goodness upon His people. God is not stingy, but God is abundant towards us. Are you following what I'm saying? But along with the abundant life of our possessional inheritance or our heritage comes responsibility as well. Now, how many of you know, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but look at verse 4 here, which is very interesting. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Even is italicized, but that's very incorrect. The translators put that in there. But notice what he says, that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Now, I want you to go down to verse 18 of this chapter, chapter 5, and I want us to notice a verse here. We know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And the wicked one touches him not. I got news for you. When you're living your Christian walk out through your natural flesh, listen. When you're living your Christian walk out through your natural flesh, the wicked one can touch you.
Right.
Because walking your Christian walk out through your natural life is literally apart from revelation. Revelation knowledge, the term revelation or to reveal knowledge, literally means an imparting of insight from the Word of God to a person supernaturally. Mm-hmm. In other words, it means that that person is going to receive insight through the Word of God apart from his natural mind.
Right.
Now follow me very closely here today. Because we're going to stop teaching after this particular message. We're going to go on into something else. But I want you to notice what it says here. For whatsoever is born of God, that statement is never found in the Word of God concerning people. It is, you're not a whatsoever. You're a whosoever. Well, if it's a whatsoever, what is that referring to? He's literally referring to information that is birthed in you. That is birthed in you. Now, I never looked it up in the Greek language, Koine Greek, the common language of Jesus' day. I never looked it up in there. But finally, something kept scratching on the inside of me simply because of verse 18. it has mentioned twice, born of God and begotten of God. Then when I looked at verse 4, whatsoever is literally birthed in me is what will cause me to overcome the world with. Not just because I'm a Christian, that doesn't validate me overcoming the world. How many of you heard about some believer being scammed by another believer and they told you, he's a Christian?
Oh, yeah.
You know what 1 John is all about? It's all about believers that are liars. They are actually saying they're in fellowship with God and they're walking in the light as He is in the light, but they're not having fellowship with the body of Christ for some reason. What reason would that be? They're not walking in the light as He is in the light, therefore they are lying.
Right.
You know, just because someone's labeled a Christian, I'm sorry to say this, just because someone's labeled a Christian doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get Christian out of them.
That's right.
You know? I've learned that, especially with business dealings. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you'll walk in the light of Christianity or in the knowledge of what a true Christian is. You're going to get a Christian with flesh problem.
Yep.
And a Christian with a flesh life will rip you off every time. Because why? Their conscience is not put on the cutting edge by an inward anointing. It's they just live in their walk out with God through this outward anointing that literally can leave you in darkness.
Yeah.
That's why the outward anointing and the inward anointing are so definitely clear in the Word of God. And the inward anointing has to govern this outward anointing in our life.
Yeah. Amen.
Now listen to me very carefully. When I saw the word whatsoever is born of God, then it prompted me, after looking at verse 18, let's look at this verse again. This verse has this word, born of God, used twice. Here it is. And we know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, those that are watching by television, I want you to get a hold of what I'm saying. Please get a hold of what I'm saying. Those of you that have been following through with us. Notice this. It says that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Now, when I got to this verse, notice this. And we know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not, or has the ability to miss the mark with God. How many of you follow me? When I looked at that, I said, now wait a minute. He's connected to whatsoever to him, he. Until it prompted me to go to verse 4. Now, let me clarify verse 18. Now notice this. We know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. Or actually, the word sinneth there, harmatia, means not to miss the mark with God. So it's literally saying that when something is born in me, it never misses the mark with God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that's saying. Well, then if that's the case, then going back to verse 4, then what does it, how does it really read in verse 4? Okay, I went to 1 John chapter 4 of 1 John. And this is how it's worded in the language that was known in Jesus' day, the way it was written. Watch this. Verse 4. Chapter 5, excuse me. In chapter 5, verse 4. Here's how it's worded. Because everything, having been begotten of God, overcomes the world. And this is the victory overcoming the world, the faith of us. The faith of us. Now we know that faith operates in three different realms. We have what we call the operation of natural faith. Then we have the operation of a fully persuaded Christian in God operating in the highest level of faith. Then we have what we call a believer that's sometimes operating spiritually and then sometimes operating naturally. So we got faith working on all three levels, and God wants us to take this to that perfect person that we are to be in Him. We are to mature into Him. Now follow me very closely. If it's not saying in verse 4, if it doesn't use the word born of God, but actually having been begotten of God, it changes the whole meaning of the whole understanding of this verse so clearly that I understand now the verses that follow. Case in point, did you know that a good evangelist, one who has a hunger for souls, when he reaches out for the hunger of souls, you'll find that that evangelist not only has a desire to see them converted and brought into the kingdom of God, but he has his ministry set up such that he knows where to take that little convert and place him in the body of Christ. Why? For the purpose of that little one who has been birth into the kingdom of God, to have a mentorship over his life, to have a location, to have someone to raise him, because the importance of conversion is co-equal with the importance of developing the child.
Amen.
And you see, when you see a believer wanting to do a bunch of conversion, but could care less what they get under for mentorship, he's not a true soul winner. Because you do not convert somebody, then leave them to not grow.
Right.
That would be like having a child in your home and then forget to take care of it and let it wander on its own. And some parents do that. Some parents do that. They have no consideration whatsoever for their little children. I was out helping Tim one day. I was on my own. I was mowing this lawn. This backyard, and they have what they call these open fields on the base. I happened to look over yonder and seeing this little teeny girl. Must have been about 2 years old. Maybe above that, just a hair. Cutest little thing. Diapers hanging to where her little butt showing. No shoes. Little top on her. Belly exposed, and she's running all over that field. And as I was doing my job, I happened to look over and see that there was no one joining her. And I said, I wonder if that little baby's on her own. And I said, my gosh, she shouldn't be out there running around on her own. You know, you never can tell. We're living in a weird world, people. And so I decided to take the initiative to approach her, and I was cautious about that because strangers and little babies that don't jive too well in the mentality of our war. And so I walked up to her, and she was as friendly and sweet as could be. And I said, well, honey, where are your parents? Where do you live? And she said, there, 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 there. And I said, can you make your mind up? Because I wanted to take her to her house. And I know that's a touchy thing too. And sure enough, this young girl, teenage girl, came out. And she was standing over by this fence. And it was quite a ways away from where we and that little girl were. And I said, I wonder. And she kept looking over at us. And finally, I walked towards her with this little baby. And I had to pick her up. And as I was walking, she was just cuddling me and squeezing me, and she's cold. I mean, it's not conducive weather for a barefooted little baby girl, you know. And the cutest little thing. And I took it up, and I said, is this your child? But she looked so young, I wasn't sure whether she was her child. And I found out she was the babysitter, and grabbed the little baby and says, thank you. And went into the house. And I got to thinking, wow, how vulnerable little children are in a perverted world.
Oh, yes.
You know, you bring a child of God into the kingdom of God, and I got news for you. Just as much as God has a heart for the conversion, His heart is co-equal with the raising of that children.
Amen.
Case in point, what happens if you had children born into your house and you treated them like that? You could care less what you're doing to that child. You could care less how you're raising them. And I know parents that are in this church, they love God, and yet they have an example of rebellion to spiritual authority and don't even realize they're teaching that in their children. I'm going to tell you, it's one thing to rebel against that which is natural. But to let your children be allowed to violate that which is spiritual, you're taking them to a whole different level. And yet we don't realize that. Now, when I looked at verse 4, it finally dawned on me that in the Greek, when it literally says, having been begotten of God, it's different than born of God. And I couldn't figure out why it was so different until I looked up the meaning. And most of my meanings, even for those that are watching by television, come out of W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary and Zahiotes, Greek word meanings. Here's what that word literally means when it says, having been begotten of God. It literally means, are you ready? The general meaning of born of God is an offspring. That which is born of God or birthed by God. That's the general meaning for born of God. But in the Greek here, they didn't use the general meaning of the word born of God. They used the term begotten of God. And this is a different meaning to the same word. Born of God and begotten of God. But it has a different meaning. And finally dawned on me that when they used the term begotten of God, here's literally what it means. The manner of the relationship between a teacher and his disciple. The word begotten of God literally means the manner of the relationship between a teacher and his disciple. It doesn't mean I'm a child of God, I'm born of God. It has a deeper meaning to that. It literally means I am a disciple under the training of my parents.
Yes.
How could he rip me off? He was a Christian. Well, it's simple. Just because they called themselves a Christian doesn't mean they're under the training and the tutoring of their parents. How many of you had children that you can't impart anything to them? It just seems like they have a knack for rebellion at everything you try to tell them to do. Well, that's where 1 John is coming from. Not everybody in the church that's called born of God or a Christian is being taught, trained, or disciplined by God. Ooh. Gosh, I feel happy. You know what God promised me about by His Word Christian Center? Here's what He promised me. First of all, he said, you're not going to get the numbers that normal churches will get. He says, but the numbers you do get, their lights will shine very bright.
Amen.
Yes. You know what else he told me? And I'm not putting a bragging on me, because anything that I possess is not of any glory to myself, but only Him, and I'm going to be bold like Paul, only Him that has given me anything. I am impoverished on my own, but because I have Him, then whatever I have is for your benefit, not mine.
Amen.
Glory to God. Here's what he told me, and I never understood this part of the prophecy until I began to look into Scripture and see the responsibility of the heart of the believer towards their Father. Are you ready? He told me no ravenous beast will ever remain at By His Word Christian Center on that ground.
Amen.
And it finally dawned on me, he was saying, a flesh believer cannot stay under the Word of God. Because if you want to live out your Christianity through your flesh, you ain't going to like spiritual enlightenment. Why? Because you're still having a love affair with your flesh. Now, notice this. Here's how it's actually worded. Because everything having been begotten of God is what overcomes the world. And this is the victory overcoming the world. The faith of us. The faith of us. The faith of us. You know what faith is? It's believing in something you can't see. And you know what? The faith only works with a revelation in the heart of a believer, not by anything naturally. Now, here's the meaning of this word, begotten of God. It means the ability. This is W. E. Pines. It means that when you see this word begotten of God, it means the ability of the Father to reach the heart of His offspring in regeneration, in regenerating, and in sanctification, and in quickening. That's what this word begotten of God means. It literally means the ability of the Father to reach the heart of His offspring in regenerating, in sanctifying, and in quickening him. That's what that word means. And that's why in verse 4, it literally says, for whatsoever is begotten of God is what is causing you to overcome the world with. Why? Because there is a process that is going on in your heart of regeneration, of sanctification, and quickening. Amen. Glory to God. Yes. Glory to God. Yes. It isn't because I just get born into the kingdom and I'm left an imbecile. It's because I'm born into the kingdom of God and I got a relationship with God, my Heavenly Father, through His Son, that He is regenerating me. He is sanctifying me and He is quickening me. Yes. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Ooh.
Hallelujah.
We need a Holy Ghost breakdown.
Amen.
Now, if you'll take a few minutes with me, I'll break down the meaning of these words by W. E. Vines. Are you ready? The word regenerating involves the communication of a new life that the two powers or authorities produce, which are the word truth.
Yeah.
It means when a person is regenerating, it literally means one authority communicating to another authority. Are you ready? One speaking to the other and communicating the word of truth.
Amen. Yep.
Are you ready? What does John refer to the Holy Ghost as of in 1 John? He refers to Him as the Spirit of truth.
Right.
You know what? You can think you're in truth, but the Holy Ghost has a way to show you what's really laying at the base of what you're manifesting. And if it ain't truth, you hooked up to the wrong spirit. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they be of God. For many false teachers have gone out into the world. I just don't lend my ear to just anybody. I lend my ear to the man whom God permits me to hear.
Right.
Some Christians bounce to and fro and accumulate a bunch of seducing doctrine that floats with any wind, and they want to know why they don't have success in their life. Because that prophecy that came forth today, the only way you're going to know God is by His life and His nature, which is love.
Yes, amen.
Now, are you ready? This word regeneration involves the communication of a new life, the two authorities or powers to produce what we term the word of truth. Regeneration stresses the inception of a new state of knowledge or things in contrast with the old state. With the old state. By imparting to him his new life, eternal life, through that new spirit and how he is supposed to live.
Right.
And the Holy Ghost is the one that does that.
Yep.
Now, you ready? Sanctification, which is another part of this word, begotten of God, means a believer in the process of separation from an old life in evil things and a way into a new life and new things. It is not vicarious, I mean, prompted by someone else, but a sanctification in which the fellowship with God into which men enter for something to be transferred or imparted to an individual's possessions, built up little by little as the results of obedience to the Word of God in that person's life. Vine adds, this is the only done by the only agent qualified in sanctification process, a divine act preceding the acceptance of the gospel by the individual called Holy Ghost.
Amen. Yeah.
He brings out Holy Ghost. You know what quickening means? It means to quicken or make alive spiritual life in the natural life. To make spiritual life come alive in the body or the natural man. The manner of life, it's used as conversation in the King James. It literally means that if God has an inward, what? An inward what? Regenerating, then He has a sanctifying process which separates you from something. And listen, are you ready? And it quickens or makes alive the life of God in your physical body.
Amen. Yes, hallelujah.
When you start getting the revelation of this, you'll understand what born again is really all about. Are you ready for this? The word having been begotten of God. Are you ready? Whenever the term begotten of God is used, its emphasis is on training and discipline. But when it's born of God, literally it means one who has been birthed into the kingdom, like in conversion. The two, are you ready? Even though they have distinct meanings, separate meanings, they cannot function apart from each other.
Right.
Why? They come off the same Greek word. You know what? I heard this thing that shocked me. I asked a brother one time what he felt about this other brother. And you don't want to ever bring anybody down in front of somebody. Never do that. And I turned to him. And he wasn't receiving Jesus and didn't want nothing to do with the kingdom of God because of the testimony of this other brother. You know what normal Christians would do? Get right on the bandwagon, tear the old one to pieces. That's not the Spirit of God. So when he hit me with that, I didn't know what, because I wanted to walk in the Spirit of Christ apart from criticism. And I turned to him and I said, well, what is your problem? He says one thing, but he's doing another. Now, how am I supposed to respond to that? When you call him a Christian, and I don't see what he's doing as very much like Christian, so how am I supposed to take care of this thing? He was talking about another. He himself is not saved. I turned to him, and this is what I said. The fruit always speaks for itself. And I walked away.
Yep.
Without saying anything about that other brother or nothing. He was left with the fact. And you know what he did? He came up to me, what do you mean by fruit? I said, what the guy bears in his life is not consistent with the person that Jesus is. And he said, well, boy, that makes a whole lot more sense to me. And I didn't even tear the other guy down. I left the meaning to himself. Christ did that all the time with the religious man. He'd never tear the other person down. But he would always present truth for a person to think about. Look at the woman caught in adultery. All these men drag her to Jesus, wanting to test Jesus. Now, tell us that she's not breaking the law because she deserves death. And I love Jesus. Never pointed his finger to either one of them. He just sat down and he wrote in the sands. And you know what I believe he wrote in the sand? All their hidden sin And as they looked on it, they said, as they looked on that what he was etching, they said one by one, they turned and walked away. You know what I believe? I believe Jesus went and etched in the sand all this hidden sin that everyone had in their life. And when it come down to the woman caught in adultery, Jesus stands up and looks at her and she goes, what's going to happen to me now? And he turned to her and said, woman, neither do I accuse you.
Yep.
Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
Go and sin no more.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, sometimes Christians, they grate me so much as if I'm somebody special. They grate me so much. And I get on their case with God, and God gets on my case with my own righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to judge people. But it's another thing to evaluate whether they're being taught of the Lord or not. And I've learned to distinguish two, so I will give them more grace.
Right.
Are you following me? Why? Because if they're missing the mark and I know how to deposit in their spirit, then I'm fulfilling Galatians chapter 6. When you see a Christian dislocated in the body of Christ, he that is spiritual restore the one, considering thyself. Meaning, I was in the same place this dude was. I'm not going to be quick to judge. I'm going to be quick to give them the answer to what they need.
Right.
Are you following what I'm saying? Now, notice this. In verse 4 here, 1 John, I've got to finish this. Notice what he says. This is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, notice verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now notice verse 6. Verse 6 is literally saying how things are literally begotten of God within us. Because there is an inner witness, a spirit that is working in our hearts called truth. Truth. And so when you look at verse 6, he's telling you how the Spirit bears witness with truth in your heart. First of all, you have to literally believe that he was born into this world by the birth canal. You've got to believe that he was born into this world. That is the water that they're referring to. He was born through the womb of a woman in this world.
Right.
And notice he said the second witness is called the blood. And people don't understand the terminology of the blood. And yet the blood is so powerful in the Word of God.
Right.
The word blood literally means the life.
Yeah. Right.
The life. When he says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, he says the life that was in the Son that was born into this world, that life is what cleansed you from all sin.
Yeah.
I've seen Christians take the understanding of the element and run off in stupidity. I've got the blood. Oh, I just throw more blood on me. Throw more blood on me. I plead for more blood. Give me buckets of blood, Lord. Yet they don't even understand what they're saying. They're saying the blood of Jesus, that life that was conceived in the womb, that blood is the blood of God flowing through his, in the form of the life of God in his Son.
Right.
That's what it's referring to. It's identification to the true Father. Do you know something? I know my children. Tim, when I look at him, he's my blood. Well, if you look at that from the natural blood, if I cut myself, I don't see Tim oozing out of me. There goes a part of Tim. No, I see the life that was in me, in my Son. Now, that doesn't mean I agree with everything that I see in my Son. Because some of that life ain't of me. Now, I'll justify this meaning in case he hears this tape. Everything that he sees of me is not of him neither. It's vice versa. But the blood represents the life. That's what cleanses you from missing the mark, is the life. You know, I can have a bucket of blood standing next to me, ain't going to do me any good, but if I have the life standing next to me manifested, that will do me some good. Are you following me? Now notice this. Verse 7. What a gross error of translation. Matter of fact, you can't find it in any original documents. It's nowhere to be found. Why? For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Talk about confusing. Talk about confusing. So, if there are three that bear record in heaven, and those same three bear record in earth, we're still in a dilemma. Because how are you going to know the record that you see in the earth is from the heaven? That means they could testify all day long, which they do. But it's up to the recipient whether they believe in that testimony from heaven or not. He's telling us very clearly whom to really trust as truth birthing in your heart. He's given witness to who qualifies to really birth truth in your heart. So these verses here, definitely, the way they're written by man, the translator, definitely an interpretation given from the devil. Because here how it is in the original, and original only is the only way that it's written. Are you ready? This is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, the life. He not only literally was birthed into this earth, but he literally had the life of God in him. Now notice verse 7. It says here, in the original, because three there are the ones bearing witness. Three there are the ones bearing witness. Three bearing witness. Not in heaven, but notice, on earth. The Spirit. It's got a capital S. It's correct. That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost and the natural birth, Jesus was born into this world, the water and the life. And after this, it says, and these three agree and run wrong. And the three are in the one. The three are in the one. He takes it out of heaven and puts it into the heart of where God really came to manifest himself. It was the life in the Father birthed into the world. And it's the Holy Ghost that will give testimony to the truth of that life. Now watch this. If we receive the witness of men, why would he say that? Because the church was having people saying they were born of God, they're walking in the light as God, but they were liars. Right. Why were they liars? They didn't have an inward anointing working in the heart to give them truth to what truth is. And that's why when chapter 4, 1 John, he comes along, beloved, believe not every spirit. Why? Because there are many false teachers. Not every teacher is being birthed into insight or revelation to this world because they're not connected to the Holy Ghost. Right. Right. You give me any minister, any fivefold minister, give me any title you want in that realm. They open their mouth, and there's no presence of the Holy Ghost in it. I don't want nothing to do with them. I'm not going to give my ear to that. Especially a minister stands up and says, well, you can speak in tongues if you want to, and if you don't want to, you don't have to. That guy is not in fellowship with the Holy Ghost. He has no communion with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you learn that speaking in tongues is the language that was given to my inner man to lead my outer man out of the process. It's a revelation gift, speaking in tongues. And I don't care what denomination or religion you go to, you mention the word tongue and they'll rise up with a vengeance to crush you, because you've got to have something else than God. You've got to have a demon in you or something. They fight tongues. Why? Tongues is the only means by which revelation is understood. You've got to illuminate your inner man, and tongues is a process. Now notice this. He says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. But he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And who is the record or the witness that God gave him? The witness of the Holy Ghost. Why? Who would know better the life than the one that brought the life into the womb? A Mary, Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Give me my tongues, whatever you do. Leave my brain out of the equation. Give me my heavenly language, because my natural mind will eventually get the revelation. Yep. Yep. Hurra shekere bahad. De la kassondo ripi adzedo kapore. Ula kashanda. When I first got saved and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I used to giggle every time I spoke in tongues. Then my mind, my natural mind would quicken. I knew, sure. Thank God. My soul was delivered from that. Did you guys get something here today? I'm sorry. I preached today. As long as I sensed that anointing come, I felt it leave right there. So evidently, enough is said. But I'm going to tell you something. You let somebody come up to you and tell you you're a Christian. Beloved, believe not, but prove them, try them. And see whether they're of God or not. Eventually, their fruit will show. Why? Because I can't trust all believers being under the right teacher. I can't. I have to rely on anybody that I have an association with. I have to rely on the understanding of the fellowship they have with the Holy Ghost. Because that will tell me a whole lot. When we do counseling, one of the things that we ask for marriage, one of the things that we capitalize on is your spiritual background. You know, we got to ask you some questions, because that tells us whether that marriage will succeed or not. By your ability to stay plugged into the kingdom of God for the sake of the sanctification of the home. Right. Why? By the life that's being led by the Spirit of God. For they that are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That's not talking about the gifts of the Spirit and some spookiness. That word led is a Greek word ego, like your ego. They go my ego. The word ego literally means the life that is being raised after the Spirit of God. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on your toes. Your flesh man okay? Do you guys get this? You see, he that is born of God manifests God. Why? Because he's begotten of God. That's why verse 18 is so clear. That when a man's born of God, notice I use both words in that verse. Why? When a man says he's born of God and he's being raised as God his Father, then the wicked one can't find any handle on his life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hey, you can buy into this business. Why? I'm a Christian. Okay, I'm going to go to God and find out how much Christian you are before I invest into what you want me to. And if I find that fruit weird, I won't touch you with a 10-foot pole. I don't care what you call Christian. If you call Christian and you weird, stay Christian. But I'm going to a different place than you. I'm going to go like 1 John said. If their manner of life doesn't match up with the life of God that has been given on the inside, something's not connected to the Spirit, and it's called head knowledge, not connected to Spirit life by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Did you guys get something here today? Stand up, everybody. Stand up here today. Hallelujah. Let's take a few minutes. Father, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we want to grow in the kingdom of God. We want to be changed into His image and likeness. And Father, I know there's a struggle that's going to go on to the church because the church is in lust right now, the main embodiment of the church. Father, we are praying that the church get delivered from finances, get delivered from the powers of the kingdom of darkness who's over finances. That's where pride came from. His ability to see the multitude of his merchandise, and therefore his heart was lifted up in pride. Money is the most powerful, prideful, most knowledgeable tool that devil has, and he can put that into the hands of a believer and totally dupe him and deceive him that he's following God through it. And Father, we want to remove the lust from the church. And Father, how we do it is preaching truth to your people to be effective where we're at, to make a difference where we're at, so that the world is affected by it. And so Father, today, if there be anybody here that can truthfully say, I've never really given my heart and life to Jesus, I don't know whether I'm even born again. I'd just like to know I'm born again. We're going to give you an opportunity to come forward. But if you're here and you know you've been born again, but it just seems like your whole life has just fallen to pieces. You don't have no victory. You're not free from oppression. You're not free from strife. You're not free from envy. It just seems like everything you touch falls apart. Well, I got news for you. It's because you're living your walk out through the wrong entity. Hallelujah. You've got to learn to give yourself over to the inner man and allow God to reveal himself through it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, if you're backslid here this morning, then what I'm preaching to you is life. And you can be backslid thinking you're in fellowship, not even know it. I was that way for many years. Out of fellowship with my Father. And of course, if you're here and never been to had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you listen to these wrong doctrines that lie to you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is still the same as the day of Pentecost. The day of that inception. Hey, I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost is still here. He didn't give us Pentecost so that it would fly away in the wind. He gave us Pentecost so that we would have cloven tongues as a fire to purge our life with. So if you've broken fellowship with God and hadn't even got the baptism, we want to work with you today. So when we dismiss, those of you that want prayer, you're going to be free to come up. Those of you that don't need it, you're free to go. And those of you that are here for the first time, we have a place of hospitality. We'd like you to go, and there we'll minister to you some things that we feel that are needful before you leave. Hallelujah. Okay, with that said and done, you're dismissed. Hallelujah. Just a minute. What you got? Just a minute, folks.
Well, before you guys leave, I want to take a moment out, and I just want Pastor Butler to know. You got to see for a second, just for a second, stand up. I want Pastor Butler to know that this morning, I think the older we get, not age, I'm talking about as we go on in the Lord and the Spirit. When the young lady this morning was crying out by the Spirit of God, and I was standing back by the door, and I was biting my tongue to keep from crying. But I wanted to say, I want to thank Pastor for the mercy and compassion he had on that woman. That he didn't shut her down, wasn't rude, wasn't disrespectful, but allowed her to give what belongs to God. And what so impressed me and touched me was not so much of what she was doing, but how he reacted. Because he could have shut her down and she could have left him and gone somewhere else. But the Bible says there's two things that God is moved by in the book of Acts, and that's mercy and compassion. And he displayed that this morning. I just want him to know that I'm proud of him, because I know a while back he wasn't there, but today he's there. And I just want to say thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Well, I accept that on Pastor's Appreciation Week or month or whatever it is. I didn't even know it was around. But God cares about people. When a prophetic utterance goes, I didn't know it touched you that much, but when a prophetic utterance goes, sometimes you look at a person being out of line, but sometimes you got to let them nurture that thing that meant so much in their heart. Amen. Can they stand up now? Yeah. Stand up. Okay. The rest of you can go. God bless you. And those that I gave the altar call to, please feel free to come up.